Go to the book of Galatians tonight. We'll draw you into a study that we've been in Galatians, and the Holy Ghost has had us in recent days. Galatians chapter 6 is where I'll be in the 6th chapter of Galatians. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Amen. Well, I used to think the church was a great big thing, but this is a little thing now right here when that got opened up. Amen. And looky here on a Father's Day and the beginning of summer, and the whole thing is comfortably full. On a Sunday night. Somebody ought to praise God right there on a Sunday night. Amen. Thank God for what He's got in mind. It's always bigger than what we got in mind. And I bless Him for it. Lord, thank You for Calvary. And Lord, thank You for Jesus. Help us tonight, Lord God, for a little while. Lord, as we enter into Thy Scriptures to draw God from it, everything, Lord, You mean for us to draw from it. Let us draw strength and life and joy and peace and direction, Lord God, and conviction. Whatever You got in mind, Lord, do that for us and in us. Now, Father, Lord, You know where I'm at and where I am tonight. You know, Lord God, my state of mind, my frame of body. Lord God, the warfare in my soul. Lord, I need You to help me for a little while. Holy Ghost, be merciful. Sanctify me with that precious blood. Lord God, for a little while, behind the sacred desk, here with the sacred body of Christ, holding the sacred Scriptures, assembled in a sacred hour. Lord God, sanctify me like You did the high priest of old. The blood dripping off the right ear and the right thumb and the right foot of that Lord God, allowing him to gain access that he didn't deserve into Thy presence. Now, Lord, help us to handle the Word not deceitfully, but Lord, to handle the Word of God well tonight. Lord, we'll love You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the Lord's people say it.
Amen.
If you're sitting by somebody you love, tell them you love them. If you're seated next to somebody you can't hardly stand, I want you to smack them upside the head. And y'all can be seated now that you got that off your heart. You'll feel a lot better. They'll be confused, but you'll feel so much better. I think y'all just smack people upside the head when the time comes. It'll help everybody in the room will appreciate it, you know it. About 3 or 4 months ago, the Lord put me in the book of Galatians, and I've been digging and studying in Galatians, and there are 2 or 3 particular messages the Lord used in our evangelism the last couple of months, and so I come with that tonight. Galatians is a wonderful book. Somebody say amen. Galatians gives us a lot of contrast. There's a lot of contrast in the book of Galatians. Law. We have law and yet we have grace right there in Galatians. There's, and you'll have to go home and read the book to appreciate this, but Mount Sinai is mentioned in Galatians right with Mount Zion. Amen. He talks about circumcision, uncircumcision, flesh and Spirit. There's a contrast between 2 apostles, Simon Peter and the Apostle Paul. One was the apostle to the Jews, the other apostle to the Gentiles. And Ishmael and Isaac are contrasted there in chapter 3. Now, all this is in here, but that's not the study I'm doing. Ishmael, that what was born of the flesh. And then Isaac, that what was born of the Spirit, born of faith. There's a true gospel and a false gospel contrasted in the book of Galatians. The flesh is contrasted with the spirit in the book of Galatians. Faith is contrasted with works. It's a book of contrast. And go through the entire book and he's weighing one against the other. I'd have liked to have been there in person, Brother Ken, and heard Lester Roloff preach on Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. I'd like to have been there in person. And that's what Galatians is all about. Telling those churches in the regions of Galatia that they didn't have to listen to them Judaizers. They were no longer under the law of Moses, but they were under the freedom of Christ. And Lester Roloff preached that great message. Said they wheeled him down. Said the Holy Ghost wheeled him down the hallway of conviction. And they put him in a room with Dr. Law. And he cut him open and told him what was wrong with him. I'm glad I got an Old Testament. The Old Testament gives us the holiness of God. But I'm glad he didn't stop there. He gave us a New Testament, and that shows us the heart of God. Amen. And he said, Dr. Law cut him open and showed him what was wrong with him and left him laying there. And old Brother Roloff said, ain't you going to do anything for me? They said, no, that happens on the other side of the hall. Woo! I'm glad there's the other side to this thing. They can wheel you over to the other side. Turned it over to Dr. Grace. Put a clean heart in you and put you back together. Now, honey, we got to have the law and we got to have grace. And you got to get rid of Ishmael to enjoy Isaac. And, it's a book of contrast. But Galatians also teaches us that the Christian, not only are there contrasts in this book, there are conflicts in this book. And I want to take a little while, and this will be a practical Bible study. If two or three happy bubbles sneak in here, then I can't help that. Amen. Amen. I mean, if a half a dozen happy bubbles break out in here somewhere, I can't help that. My well runs on an automatic pump. I don't know where it's going to kick in. But this will be a practical Bible lesson. Don't you thank God for your Bible? Eight things I've noticed in the book. You ready? It's 7:30. I'm going to quit at 8. Now, when the pastor's wife laughs out loud, what does that mean right there? Brother Ken, it come out before she could catch it. She grabbed it out there. She's been around preachers too long. All right, I'll be done with my introduction by 8 o'clock. She's keeping me honest. Ha, 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 ha! No, I'm quitting at 8 because I'm hungry and I'm going somewhere before everything shuts down in Bowden, Georgia. It may have already shut down, 7:31. We may be running behind there. Let me just walk through these and see if you're going through any of these conflicts. And let me tell you how this study came to me. Let me give you this. Chapter 6, verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. I'll be done by 8:05. And we'll close at 10 after. And by 8:15, we'll give an altar call. And at 8:30, you'll know why she laughed. No, I'm going for 8 o'clock because I'm hungry. Watch this. It's in chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now, I sure am glad for that new creature. Now, that circumcision, uncircumcision, that's Bible code for Jew and Gentile. The Jews observed the religious rituals that God gave them in the Old Testament. And them old Gentile, them pagan Gentile dogs, they were just in the flesh. Can I get a witness right there? And there's a great message here, and I'm not going to preach it tonight. It's not my end. The Holy Ghost has let me know what part of this study to preach tonight coming down the road. But all this sprang out of this study in a new creature. Aren't you glad for that new creature? And see, it don't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, you got to be born again. Now, that don't mean much to us in Georgia and in America in 2012. Let's say it like this. You may have come off a church pew or a bar stool. Neither one matters. You got to get born again. You may have come out of the church house. You may have come out of the crack house. Neither one matters. You got to get born again. But a new creature. I guarantee you the hour we live in is filled with religious people who are unregenerated. And I'm talking in our old-fashioned Baptist churches. Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do the right things? Didn't we say the right things? But He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Honey, there's a lot of religious people in our midst who have never been born again. You can run out here and pursue a moral lifestyle and try to be, honey, good enough to go to heaven. If you don't become a new creature in Christ, you'll die and go to hell. You can be on church staff. You can be baptized. You can be called a preacher, Sunday school teacher. Honey, circumcision don't get you nowhere without being born again. Then tonight you can go that flesh route. You can smoke everything you find, drink everything you find, lay with everything you find, and honey, run down every avenue of righteous living that Satan's opens up. And honey, you can act like there ain't a God. You can act like there ain't a judgment. But when this thing is done, if you ain't born again, I don't care if you tried to live like heaven or you tried to live like hell, you gotta be born again. And that, I've had a study come out of that phrase, but a new creature. And here's my little study. And I'm going to say it fast so you preachers can't write it down and steal it from me. I didn't mean to be looking right at you there, Brother Mike, when I said that. It's just an accident. Amen. She writes half your sermons anyway, don't she? Same over there. Don't be acting like... That new creature. And I wish I was preaching this tonight. It's a good one. Now that I'm a new creature, there's some things that were not there before. Now here comes real quick. There's a cry that wasn't there before. Chapter 4 and verse 8 said, Abba, Father. There's a... Amen. Don't egg me on now. I'm trying to get to my other sermon. There's a covenant that wasn't there before. Amen. Woo! It's all in there. Y'all go home, look at it. There's a church in my life that wasn't there before. I need some help right there. Y'all quit egging me on. I'm trying to get... Listen, and... I'll never forget several years ago, me and my little wife rolled up in here with a little baby. And it was out of this chapter that God did a miracle in our ministry. We rode out of here, something big. I mean, son, I went through Atlanta 3 times just so they could see what I did. How do you like me now, Mama? You know, it rolled the window back. Nearly got mugged, so we got on back to Ringo. And it was out of this chapter 6. And one of the life verses of your pastor, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. Woo! Y'all quit. Y'all behave right there. That new wing's got glory in it over there. You know it. Amen. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the what? There's a household of faith. And anyway, there's a church in my life that wasn't there before. There's a cross in my life. That's chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory. Brother Clint Davis, a name, but one thing's supposed to matter now, and that's that cross. What did you write several years ago? There ain't. We buried our grandma Saturday. Yeah, a week ago Saturday. Yes, sir. Oh, there ain't nobody crying there except with happy bubbles. I promise you there. She is 88 and she died at 7 minutes to seven. She had a 7-7 and an 8-8. She completed this thing, took on spiritual perfection and had a new beginning all at the same time. And there ain't one thing in this world that I'm going to admit. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Anything else matters to you, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. One old man said, if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, here's what it'll do for you. It'll make Calvary seem like it was yesterday. And the second coming's first thing in the morning. There's a cross now in my life that wasn't there before. And all this is in this. There's a message with every one of these. There's a Christ in my life that wasn't there before. Chapter 2, verse 20. The life which I now live in the flesh. Amen. It's no longer I that live. Yet not I, but Christ. And then here's where I come tonight. Now that I'm a Christian, there's a conflict in my life that wasn't there before. Y'all supposed to help me right there. Y'all don't mind just having a Bible study tonight, do you? There's a conflict in my life that wasn't there before. The old songwriter said, this world is not my home. And it ain't supposed to feel like home either. Now here they are. This is not alliterated or fancied up or nothing. It's just right here. Here's the first one. I thought about going backwards. That's how they are in my heart. Let's start at the back and go to the front. I think. Yeah. No. Let's start at the front. Y'all are so confused tonight. Chapter 1, verse 10. Here's the first one. Now that I'm that new creature, there's a conflict. And all I did was the Holy Ghost showed me in this epistle that Paul wrote to all the churches across the region of Galatia. And there's, oh, he showed us several conflicts that we have. The first one's with man. Chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, let me say this. Paul was talking about wicked men. Paul was talking about lost men. Paul was talking about religious men who he used to run with that now were opposing him. And I want to tell you something, neighbor. When you get born again, this old world don't understand you no more. And whether they were drinking friends or religious friends, honey, you ever go with God, they're not going to understand. They ain't going to like you no more. I'm going to make a little announcement before I go to my second point. Vain is the help of man. Our help cometh from the Lord. I got news for you. You don't need to be men to be for you. It don't matter if men are against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? One of the reasons I ain't trying to pat him on the back, it's just a perfect illustration. Right in front of me. One of the reasons that God's give you a Spirit-filled church, it's because he don't run this thing on the fear of man or the favor of man. I need to get a witness right there. I wish you'd go with me to the churches I had to preach in. You'd carry a little throw-up bag with you. Hear the preacher whine and the pastor whine. Scared of three old women that were there when they started. Scared of two charter members. Scared of a silly deacon board. Scared of anybody frowns at them. Silly outfit, honey. I got news for you. They called me to pastor that little church. And I wasn't a smart aleck. God had done stomped the pudding out of me. I was 21. I was trying to go to Romania. I was willing to go to Africa. I was willing to do anything but pastor a Baptist church in the South. I'd flip open National Geographic, my eyes closed. You go, boom, right there, Lord. That's the will of God for me. Anything but anything in the pastor and Baptist in the South. God put me in that First Baptist church and sat there. And I remember 30-something men called me down there one night. I was a 21-year-old single kid. And I sat on the altar. They wanted to have a Q&A session. Turned out they was lying about that. What they want to do is take about 2 hours and tell me how they expected, how they were going to run me and how I was going to obey them. And I sat down there. I didn't even want the goofy outfit. I sat there and I remember wearing tan corduroy breeches and a plaid rust shirt. I had no idea why that mattered, but first time I ever remembered that. And I was sitting there looking at him. And one old fella said, "Exactly what are you going to do when you come to this church?" And the answer flowed like water downhill. It just come right out of my mouth. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with y'all. I said, because God was forcing me into that thing. And by the way, the will of God is never what you would have wanted. The will of God is usually going to be about the last thing you'd have picked. And God's will for His Son put a cup in His hands and sweat drops of blood on His head and made the sweet, submissive, holy, incarnate Son of God pray 3 times. Oh God, if it's possible, some other way, please. If you thought of it and all your friends like it, I'm pretty sure it ain't the will of God. If 11 of your carnal friends are clapping for you, I'm pretty sure it ain't the will of God. Y'all help me right there. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, but I know what I'm not going to do. And I'm not going to play church. And we're not going to be dead. And by the grace of God, we were not. Oh, listen. You can't go with man. You can't go with man. You got to go with God. Number two, here's a conflict in the Christian's journey now. And it's in chapter 2, verse 11, and it's the brethren. Sometime there's conflict with the brethren. Look in chapter 2 and verse 4. The Bible says, because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty. And you can read them verses. They're a blessing. I got news for you. There's a lot of false brethren in this thing. A lot of false brethren. But what I'm talking about in verse 11 is Paul had a conflict with Simon Peter. And I got news for you. Sometimes you're going to have a conflict even with the best of the brethren. Chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew to separate himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now, look up here. We'll make this 15 seconds. The Apostle Paul got in Simon Peter's face because he thought Peter was being two-faced. And I'm not sure who was right. Paul was technically right about the matter, but he was younger. And he may have had a little bit much zeal going on. Simon Peter may have been using some wisdom on how he was helping everybody. How come it was all right for Paul to use that wisdom? Look in chapter 2 and verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. How come it's all right if you sneak around? You know, when he did it, it was just being appropriate. When Simon Peter did it, he was being a coward. I need y'all to help me. I need you to help me right here. You do know Paul was not Jesus. You're supposed to help me right there. He didn't have it all squared away. This is one of his earlier letters. He said, I want ever, and he wrote this epistle and sent it to all the churches in the region of Galatia. He said, I want y'all to know I straightened out Simon. And all the young zealous Christians go, amen! Let them have it! And them older apostles says, well, he's a good boy. He'll turn out all right. Y'all wanna have fun just for a second? Flip backwards or just turn the page in your Bible to flip backwards if you want to 2 Peter. I flipped backwards one time. I was 6 years old, and it ain't happened again since, and it was an accident then. Go to the last part of 2 Peter. I want to show you how gracious Simon Peter was when dealing with conflict with the brethren. Look what he said. Now Paul done got in his face and chewed him out. And that was the temperament that Paul had. Can I get a witness? He was going to have a revival or a riot. You was going to get saved or try to kill him. You were going to get saved or try to kill him. It was no gray area with that apostle to the Gentiles. Now watch this. 2 Peter 3, verse 15. Look at the gracious tone on this older brother in the Lord. 2 Peter 3, verse 15. He said, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles except Galatians, where he was ugly to me. How come somebody can't just grow up and just take the high road? Do you know we're full of pride and full of self and we got to defend ourselves? Listen, in all his epistles, speaking into these things, and here's the wisdom, in which are some things hard to be understood. Wasn't that nice of him? He said, now, not everything's easy to understand when you're dealing with Paul people. But he done called him beloved brother and done magnified the wisdom God gave to him. And then he told them they better listen to Paul. Lest if they didn't, they'd get into their own destruction. Now come back to Galatians. Just let me say this. There's going to be conflict with wicked men out there. There's going to be conflict with the brethren in here. Somebody better learn to forbear and forgive. Forbearing and forgiving in all lowliness and meekness of mind when there's brethren. Now here's the third one. Chapter 2, verse 20. I'm doing pretty good. I may be to the Waffle House by 8:15. Large bowl of chili been sitting down there since last Wednesday. It'll kill anything wrong with you. All known bacteria and 3 unidentified parasites. Waffle House chili can cure. Chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. It's probably the greatest verse. Underline this verse. This is probably the greatest. If you could put a nutshell, the Christian's personal victory, Galatians 2:20 is probably the greatest verse in Paul's epistles. It's top 3 of personal victory in your daily walk. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ. There's conflict with self. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Underline verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Do you know how many frustrated Christians there are? They're frustrated with their own sin. They're frustrated with their own failings. They're frustrated with their own shortcomings. They're frustrated with their prayer life. They're frustrated with their joy being up and being. Do y'all know how many frustrated Christians there are? I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, I'm not going to spend any time here, but you do a word study on that frustrate. is to hinder. As a dam hinders a river. It's to put up a large obstacle and keep and to hinder forward progress from taking place. Noah Webster, 1828, said, as when a dam hinders a river from flowing forward. Do you know that? But one thing can keep the life of Christ running through you and running out of you and running you. It's that big I. Yet not I, but Christ. Self. One of the greatest conflicts in the Christian journey is that I'm down in there with Jesus. And it ain't my brother, it ain't my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Self. Self. Self wants to rear up. It wants to defend itself. It wants to describe itself. It wants to provide for itself. And it wants... Self wants to protect itself. I heard this and I'll go to number four. Brother Ken, probably one of the greatest statements on worship I've ever heard. A young preacher friend of mine was preaching a meeting last year. We were together and he said this. People say if a man beats his wife, he's acting like the devil. Or if you get drunk down here and get in the middle of town and show yourself and get down there and act ugly, police have to come and say, boy, he is acting like the devil. Or let's say you and the wife getting a good fuss fight on the way to church on Sunday morning, which is usually what happens on Sunday morning. Somebody say amen. There he is acting like the devil. But did you know what the devil actually did that got him kicked out of heaven? He thought so much of himself that he would not worship Jesus. He wanted to be worshipped himself. Now in my studies, one man I studied behind speculated on this. We only got three archangels named in the Bible. You got Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. And we know that Jesus has an angel. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine own angel to testify unto you these things. Michael is that warfare, that death angel. When God needed to kill in the Syrian army, he sent that angel. When he needed to take care of Israel, he sends that angel, that death angel. That's Michael. That's probably God the Father's angel, the judgment angel. Gabriel, he comes with messages from heaven. That's the Holy Spirit's angel problem. Lucifer was that glorious, beautiful, a set of pipes in his chest, built in, musical creature of worship. The very name Lucifer means light bearer. He was Jesus' angel. He was created and had one job, to stand there in his beauty and his glory, give all his beauty and his glory to the Lord Jesus and tell all of heaven how glorious the Son of God is. And he got full of himself one day. Pride was found in his heart, and the five I wills of Isaiah 14, I will be exalted. I will sit upon the throne. I will. Thank God the five I wills of Satan was outdone by the seven I wills of Jesus in the book of Hebrews, amen, chapter 10. Amen! That was free right there. Praise God. And Lucifer, when he was too proud to worship Jesus, that's when you're acting like the devil. When you come to the house of God and you're too proud to give Jesus your glory, you, somebody said, well, I didn't feel like it. I got to have a little tickly up my spine before I... You ought to walk in the door and both hands go up in the air shortly there. Just because he's the Son of God, just because he died on Calvary's cross, just because he went to your hell so you wouldn't have to, it ain't got anything to do with how you feel about it. It's got everything to do with who he is and what he is. We come in here and we're too proud to worship Jesus. That's when you're acting like the devil. And that very sin, you'll end up then doing them ugly things on down the line. And when somebody gets puffed up in the church and somebody get a little puffed up and get that bullfrog mating season, I probably shouldn't have said that. That my little Chloe loves Animal Planet now. She's a redneck. She's a tomboy. She takes care of Preston. He gets a little scared. She'll take care of him. Bugs and snakes. She likes the Turtle Man. Anybody here got family in Kentucky? Turtle Man! She likes swamp people. Y'all keep letting him go. He's going to become one if y'all keep sending him down there. Free. He's going to come back and you're going to see him in one of them shows one of them nights. Shoot him, kid. Shoot him. Them old bullfrog there. All them reptiles puff up right before they bite. I wish I had somebody. All the alligators. Snag them. Bullfrog. I don't think bullfrogs bite, but never mind that part. All them reptiles puff up. Even a little lizard are like, stand up, this got a little thing on the back of his head. All reptiles puff up right before they attack. They get puffed up right before they show themselves. You're never acting more like the devil than when you get puffed up. I'm trying to behave. Watch this now. Number four, I got to go to Waffle House. I can't preach on. 1 minute to eight. I may have been a little off on my time there, sister. Number four is in chapter 4, verse 16. Paul had a conflict with his converts. And sometimes you'll have a conflict right there with your own disciples. Your own church members and your own converts. Can I get a witness in here? Chapter 4, let's read it. Verse 13, he said, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel to you at the first? I mean, brother, he was hurting. I don't know what was wrong with him. Something was bad wrong with him. But he came anyway and he preached anyway and they got saved anyhow. Ain't you glad somebody's willing not to be spoiled and whiny? Somebody's willing to carry a cross to you so you can get to the cross? Do you know you can't preach a cross without carrying it? He said in verse 14, you received me as an angel of God. Brother Ken, you remember when some of them, when they just told you you was the next best thing to sliced bread? An angel? And verse 15. Whew, where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record, you, if possible, you'd have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I got news for you. You stay in this thing long enough, there's going to be a conflict with your own converts. And I don't know who bewitched them. Somebody bewitched them. That's chapter 3, verse 1. Would you look at it? Don't make me preach on witches for an hour now. Oh, foolish Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 1. Who hath bewitched you? Somebody showed up with the devil on them and had them halfway under a spell. I need to get a witness in here. I'll make a little announcement while I'm here. Harry Potter. That's probably more accurate right there. Harry Potter for children and Twilight for young adults. Yeah. Honey, the Antichrist is setting the stage for an entire generation to receive the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. They will already be associated with being in love with a corpse of a man who is filled with Satan. With nothing, that's all a vampire is a demon-possessed corpse operating. Why you think every other TV show now is about zombies? Who's actually ever originally interested in a stinking zombie? Nobody but Satan. And honey, this entire generation is being set up and made to believe there's such a thing as a good witch and a good vampire. Maybe if you'd turn off Hollywood out of your life and pick up the Word of God, you might get some of that. And when Jesus comes back, you'll be ready to receive Him instead of having to receive the Antichrist when He comes. I wish I had somebody. He said, "Now I've told you the truth, and now you've become my enemies." And I got news for you. Brother, you better take account of your own self and your own soul. God will come by every once in a while in the church and take inventory. And He'll see who done got full of themselves, or who got full of sin, or who got full of pride. And He wants to see who still loves the Lord and now who still loves herself. I want to go on record and say, and thank God, I still love all my preachers. I ain't made an enemy out of one of them. I ain't become an enemy to one of them. I love every one of the men of God that God placed in my life. Amen. My daddy is my original pastor. He's still the pastor of my heart. His pastor's my pastor he got grandfathered in. Amen. I still do whatever he says. One of my daddy's dearest friends was Ron Garrison, and he pastored me with a heavy hand. Never bothered me a bit. God's put Brother Dana Williams and Brother Mike Bagwell in my life as Bible expositors. And I sit at their feet and learn and submit to them and let them teach me the Word of God. Amen. That's a good place for a young man to be, is at the feet of older men. Not trying to be over them, telling them anything. It's a good place to be at their feet. I could name 10 other men God's used in my life along my journey. And I got news for you. I don't ever want to get bewitched and turn on God's man and turn on God's house and turn against God's people. Converts or conflict. Chapter 5, verse 17, we're at number 5. I've got to prove Sister Renee wrong about this laughing business. So far she's winning this little contest. Chapter 5, verse 17, we have a conflict with the flesh. I want you to look at chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And this chapter is a glorious chapter. You go home and study it. I'm not going to preach all this chapter. I'm just going to tell you something. Brethren, we're still in the flesh. I'm just glad for chapter 2, verse 20, the life which now I live in the flesh. I live by my own good works. I live by my own strain and my own strength. I live by getting rededicated and every morning waking up and choosing to die daily. No, I live it by leaning on Him. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You couldn't be good if you tried. You couldn't be good if you wanted. He's got all the goodness you'll ever need. Just lean on Him. Just walk with Him. Just hang on to Him. Just holler for help from Him. Just look to Him. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The flesh. I heard a dear preacher say something the other day, and it was so glorious. He said, the flesh is trying to take me down to the dirty, dark, depraved dungeons of hell. He said, but it can't never take me. Said, sometimes it takes me down, but it never can take me down as far as it wants to, because there's a Holy Ghost pulling the other way. And he said, there's some great heavenly things that I'd like to do. There's some great dreams I'd like to aspire to. And I soar toward the heavenly, but Brother Clint, I don't always get as high as I want to, because there's a flesh tugging at me. There's a downward pull, but thank God the upward pull keeps me from going as far down as it would have. And then there's an upward pull, but that old flesh pulls back down, and I end up back down in a mess sometimes. But thank God one of these days somebody's going to win that tug of war. One of these days a trumpet's going to sound, a shout's going to ring out, and that upward tug, that flesh will be changed in midair into a glorified body. He'll change our vile body. He'll change our vile body. That it may be fashioned like it is glorious. One of these days that tug of war is going to be over and this flesh is going to be transformed into a glorified body. Jesus will have His way the rest of eternity. The rest of all eternity, He'll have His way. Thank God. Now, hallelujah to God. Number 6. You see how I'm behaving so good? Number 6. There's going to be a conflict with men out in that world that you used to run with. There's going to be a conflict with brethren. And by the way, this is for free. You can pay for my chilling. That'll be enough. You know one of the wickedest things about Facebook? And I've got Facebook. I got 3,212 friends. I only know like 17 of them. 300 of them are pastors from the Philippines. I have no idea. Hello, Brother Dean, come preach for us. See my rice paddy. Sometime come, brother. Okay. Thank you. Come see my bungalow and eat some grits, you know, anytime you want to. We're good. My wife enjoys posting pictures on Facebook so that the other people will realize our children are prettier and stuff like that. And I don't know why people struggle with that, but and I like staying in touch with the young people and inviting them to the youth meeting. But let me tell you one of the wickedest things about Facebook I've seen. In one click of a button, the devil will reconnect you to somebody in your life that God took 20 years to get separated out of your life. Besides the point that Facebook tears up every church I know with evil gossip. One of the evilest things I've seen it do is God spend your entire Christian life purging and separating you from people that were pulling you to hell. He'll separate you. He'll spend a lifetime getting you separated from foolish and wicked people. And you sit down and one stroke of a keyboard be reconnected to every one of them. That's for somebody. Here's the chapter 6, verse 9. Let me say this. There's conflict with the ministry. There's conflicts in the ministry. Chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You mean this ministry thing involves fainting spells? I wish I had somebody in here. Why, look at the last phrase in verse 12. Suffer persecution for the cross. You mean you suffer persecution? If you're living godly in Christ Jesus, you're suffering persecution. Hey, what's this thing about everybody has to like you? Who made that up? What's this deal of everybody having to like you and laud you and think you... You're back over there with self again. You're over there with Satan thinking you deserve to be worshipped. I wish I had somebody. All them that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution from people. The ministry... It has fainting spells. There's a great travail in the ministry. Chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, it didn't say Christ be found in you. That's getting saved again. No, until Christ be formed in you. Paul was travailing. He was having fainting spells. He was suffering persecution. And there's other verses that give more description. There's great conflicts in the ministry. Make a little announcement. If you've been saved over 6 months, you've either been mistreated by a church or by a preacher. And for some people I know, it may have only took 6 days to get that thing on your resume. Huh? If you're going to quit just because there's some trouble with some church or some preacher, then honey, then you might ought to just go ahead and get out of this thing right now. But I ain't in it for some church or some preacher. I'm in it for the one who crawled up on... He went all the way for me. I'm going to go all the way for Him. Hallelujah to God! Honey, some preacher messing me up ain't going to mess me up. Some church getting messed up ain't going to make me quit. I'm in it for Him. I'm in it for Christ. I'm in it for the long run. Brother Ken, just about all of Paul's preachers went goofy. Except two or three. Just about all of Paul's churches went goofy in his lifetime. Except a couple. We don't quit because things don't turn out well. It may turn out in a Roman Colosseum with them torturing and killing you. If we had what them old timey saints had, we'd thank God and sing praises while we're sending our spirit to heaven and rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. The ministry. What we got is people full of self. Brother Ken, I'm going to say something. I've been coming here 12 years. And we've been friends that long. That wing goes that way, and it's already full of people. I don't know if one's ever going to go there. That looked like a good spot for another wing. Let me say a little of that. Let me give you some M&Ms if you're going to. Fill that up with people, fill that up with people, fill that baptistry with sinners, and fill this altar with teenagers that'll go turn the world upside down. We got enough Americans making money. We need some teenagers to go turn the world upside down. We need preachers and missionaries and servants of God coming out of this church. If you're going to get to there, you're going to have to get some people off the milk and onto the meat and into the ministry. Right in here. And you can't quit because somebody replaced you. You can't quit because preacher said you do better over here. You don't get sideways and quit because your niece never gets to sing a solo and somebody else's does. And if you ever go reptile on us, some of us done seen it enough, somebody ought to take a shotgun and end that reptilian life. If there's going to be two wings and this thing's going to fly, it's going to take some folk that in it for Him and no other reason. One of the weaknesses of our old-fashioned shouting circles is we do get caught up in emotionalism. I used to walk through my bunch and tell them, hush shouting. Hush. We're not to heaven yet. Let's fall on our face and weep about 6 months. That's what I used to tell them. Satan's after us. We ain't home yet. Our teenagers will be full of hell in 7 years if God don't help us. They sinners out there died and go to hell. Every once in a while, Brother Kid, Holy Ghost would tell me, and I'd walk through my people. Hush. Let's get on our face and weep. It ain't time to celebrate yet. It ain't time to cheer yet. It's time to get over ourselves and get out there and find somebody that God means for us to find and help them find God. This thing's going to fly and get off the ground with those wings. It's going to take people who are not in it for their self, but they're in it for their Savior. Well, there's two more very quickly. I'm going to quit before 8:30 and somehow count that as a victory against Sister Renee. I mean, she already won this thing, but I'm going to get it to where she don't win it somehow. Watch this in chapter 6, verse 14, the world. God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world's crucified unto me and I unto the world. There's a great conflict with the world. Jesus said the world hated me and the world's going to hate you. Chapter 1, verse 4 called it this present evil world. Do you know what Holy Ghost church services are about? Holy Ghost church services are about one thing. God showing you how wonderful His world is. And to make you want to get into His world and leave your old wicked world. Do you want to know the one great downfall of the contemporary philosophy of ministry? It's this. It's we're going to make our church like this world so this world will come and like it. And you kind of shot off your foot to get to your head or whatever the old saying is. I don't know. Yeah. It ain't getting nowhere. You got a bunch of people under one roof and everybody still loves Egypt. And congratulations, we're only here for an hour. And get on back to Egypt and have a good time in Egypt. People don't get saved because you tell the gospel to their head. You only get saved in the power and the presence of the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. And it takes the foolishness of preaching. To say, and you can't preach in an Egyptian atmosphere and expect a heavenly birth. The church ought to be here is one place where I can go to get away from this world and get in the middle of His world. Here's the last one. There's conflict with the world. That was number 7. Number 8, there's conflict with our enemies. Chapter 6, verse 17. Enemies. The Christian's going to have conflict with men, brethren, self, converts, the flesh, the ministry, the world. And we're all going to have to learn how to deal with enemies. Chapter 6, verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Where do you think he got them marks? They beat him. They whipped him. They stoned him. But he had the Spirit of Christ when he was laying there on that deathbed in 2 Timothy 4. He said, I pray it may not be laid to their charge. Until you learn to forgive your enemies and pray for them, like Christ did for us on Calvary, you're never going to know anything about being filled with the Holy Ghost. One good reason you ought to pray for your enemy is they're probably a better person than you are. God may be wanting to bless them and use them. They may just be in a mess spiritually. You say, well, they don't deserve my prayers. Did you deserve anybody's prayers? If he could pray for us, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Obviously, if that enemy had the right mind and the right wisdom about him, he just don't know what he's doing. So pray for him. There was a time you didn't know what you was doing. And somebody prayed for you. You got to see your enemy is probably better than you are before you'll ever pray for him. You got to have a real low estimation of yourself to pray for your enemy right. Man attacked me a year ago. He said, you deserve to be stomped into hell. I said, I've got to agree with you. That's true. And it's more true than you know, I told him. He got a little confused on that. But I wasn't confused. Oh, God help us. You can't pray for your friends right if you don't pray for your enemies right. You pray to have a hypocritical heart. God, help us. there's going to be conflict. Paul never tried to kill anybody that killed him. He preached to them, prayed for them. Hallelujah. Now that I'm a new creature, there's some conflicts that wasn't there before. That's why this thing gets all fuzzy and wacky. It's not that simple, is it? That's just 8 conflicts in a simple overview of one little book in the Bible. What if we pulled in the other 65 books then? We'd never get to Waffle House if we looked at all the conflicts that we go through. But I'm so glad that I can let Him fight all my battles. All 8 of them you can give to Him. Lord, my flesh is giving me a fit. I'm going to give it to You. Lord, the ministry is about to kill me. I'm going to give it to You. My enemies are coming after me. I'm going to turn that over to You, Lord. Those wicked men I used to run with, I'm just going to trust You with that. Every one of these can be given to Him. I want you to stand. Our heads are bowed. Brother Clint, come on back, and I want you to sing.